Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in. Hour number two live here from Smoke on the Water in downtown Greenville. And Diesel, one of the many things that I do that irritates the living daylights out of you is probably refer to Wednesdays from time to time just because I know that you don't like it as a hump day edition. Is that fair?
Hump day edition.
Hump day edition. But we're at the top of the hill, if you will, when it comes to the college football season. Everything's now on the backside. You know what I mean?
That is a depressing thought, Sturge, to know that we're already halfway. We sit and wait so long. Off-season seems to get longer and longer every year, and the season is gone in a flash.
Literally. I mean, can you put your finger on the fact that it was 6 weeks ago that we met at 5 o'clock in the morning in the Intercom parking lot and drove down for that home opener to do the Ingalls College football
And the
division.
Question is, what was I doing to wake up for that game, Sturge? Do you remember?
Drinking a buttload of coffee.
Drinking a buttload of coffee and jamming Metallica.
Oh, yes.
At 5:30 in the morning in the parking lot.
Yep. So, you know, you're right. It can feel depressing that we're at the halfway point, but it's now going to get fun. You know what I mean? Each week you're going to see an undefeated team go down. We'll see how it works out. So it wouldn't be appropriate. I mean, you got a report card in elementary school for, you know, at midterms, right? So why don't we give some midterm awards or notifications, if you will, out for this 2018 college football season? And you got to start in the negative. Who has been the most disappointing team in college football? We talked about some of those the other day, which could include Florida Atlantic, you know, because we were all on them and what the Lane Kiffin train may do if they got the 10 or 11 wins. But I'll go first. I'm going to go Michigan State, and here's why. We place them in a category with the likes of Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin about how deep that Big Ten was going to be and how any of those five teams could win the Big Ten and what a rough race it was going to be. Well, they have yet to face a ranked opponent, Michigan State, and they're 3-2 with losses at Arizona, and they lost at home to Northwestern. The wins, not particularly impressive either. Utah State nearly upset them at home earlier this year. So at 3-2, with a chance to get themselves off the deck with the likes of Penn State and Michigan and Ohio State still coming up on the schedule, I think Michigan State is a team that is further from the Big Ten elite, much less college football's elite, than we thought headed into the year.
True. And to me, one of the most disappointing teams so far this season has been Tennessee. You know, we all had a lot of hopes with Jeremy Pruitt coming in and thinking that he could turn things around, and Tennessee has just not lived up to those expectations. Let's see, they've lost to some really good football teams. They've lost to a number 2, number 6, and a number 14 in the country. So, again, is it necessarily fair to Jeremy Pruitt and to Tennessee to say that they were disappointing in his first season when the losses have come against superior opponents? I don't know, but I mean, Tennessee is just they don't seem to be turning the corner. You know, you can turn the corner, you can improve even in losses.
Well, the one thing, we saw a culture shock take place in that game against Florida, Neyland Stadium. You know, not only was it shocking to see how much the Gators raced out to a lead, you know, you had to deal with some issues on the sideline and, you know, the bad part about rebuilding a program. And it's just unbelievable to the depths of which his Tennessee football's fallen. Yeah, I lived up there when they won the national title in 1998. never thought that I would see this team go through these kind of struggles, but it just goes to show you what really one bad hire can do for a program. You know what I mean? So the bad part is the culture shock is what the Tennessee players are having to deal with, and his name is Jeremy Pruitt. All right, so if there's a disappointing team, there has to be a surprise team. And there are actually a bunch of teams that could go into this category. The Florida Gators, you know, I didn't know what to expect out of them. We all thought West Virginia was going to be good. I think you can put Texas into that mix. But those are all traditional names that we think of. They also all have good, fertile recruiting grounds. Therefore, my surprise team of the year at this point, the Kentucky Wildcats. Only one loss. It came in overtime at Texas A&M. They ended what was one of football's weirdest streaks, 31 consecutive losses to the Florida Gators. They had beaten a Mississippi State team, beat them pretty good. They beat a Florida team that could go down at 5-1 as one of the surprise teams. So I think Kentucky, a team we don't normally think about in football terms, we think about in basketball terms, I think they're my surprise team of the year as they come in at number 18 in the rankings this week.
For me, I say it's UCF. We all expected a massive drop-off once Scott Frost left Orlando, and they have not. They are sitting at 5-0, number 10 in the polls, and they're rising. So give them a lot of credit. I think I think a lot of the college football world expected them to slide back just a little bit. I mean, we all knew that they were still going to have a lot of the same talent that they had previously. And hey, you do as well as UCF did last year, you're going to get some good recruits. You're going to get some better recruits than what you'd previously been getting. But still, when your head coach takes off for another opportunity, you expect a little bit of a backslide, and they have not slid back at all.
Absolutely, because you're talking about, you know, Josh Heupel. He comes in from Oklahoma. Some people raised an eyebrow when they made him that offer. So, you know, he's learning to be a head coach as well. And, you know, even though you wouldn't put him in as a surprise team, Diesel, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the American Athletic Conference as a whole. You're talking about, you know, South Florida right now. They're in the rankings at number 23. Central Florida is in at number at 10. Cincinnati's in at number 25. And, oh, yeah, we mentioned Memphis earlier. They get their shot at the Golden Knights this weekend, but that's not a bad football team either. So the American Athletic Conference is, if they ever are going to make a push to be a Power 6 instead of a Power 5, this would be a year in which to go out there and honk your horn and put the spotlights on you, because right now, that's pretty impressive for the first half of the season.
Well, for me, if the American Athletic Conference wants to be a Power 5 or Power 6 program, they're going to need at least two teams, and it's probably going to be Central Florida and South Florida, to sit there in that top 25 for the next 10 years or so. I mean, the truth is they don't have a blue blood in the mix. They don't have an Alabama. They don't have a Clemson. They don't have a Texas or a Michigan or somebody like that sitting in that conference who's just the huge fish in that conference. They don't have that. They've got a lot of great stories. I give them a lot of credit for having Central Florida, which is a phenomenal story, but you got to have 10, 15 years of sustained success and sustained presence in the top 25, I think, to be considered on equal footing with some of the other Power 5 conferences. Now, do I think Central Florida in the top end of the American Athletic can compete in any conference? I absolutely do.
Well, you know, what history suggests is if you have that kind of run as one of those teams and then conference realignment comes up, you get gobbled up and you're on to something else. You know, Utah, kind of a case of that back in the day when they were a Mountain West Conference team before they
became – Same with TCU.
Yeah, before they came a member of the Pac-12, TCU with the Big 12. So that's one of the bad things. The other thing is it's much more difficult for those leagues to hang on to their coaches. If they had, you know, Scott Frost, even though I would have gone somewhere else before I went to Nebraska, I don't blame him for going home last year. But, you know, Charlie Strong, if he has another couple of good seasons at,
he'll be back out the door.
Yeah, he'll be back out the door in a Pac-12 or a SEC or an ACC-type program. And because the one thing that South Florida is not going to have either is they play in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium. You know what? They're the second, they're the redheaded stepchild, if you will, of Raymond James Stadium. You know, everything is done for the Buccaneers. Nothing is done for South Florida, but they don't have an on-campus facility, so they're always going to come up second when it comes to that situation.
The saving grace of the American Athletic, and I think their biggest benefit right now is, I think, alignment as we know it, unless something drastic happens. I mean, something really drastic has to happen. We have to have half of the Power Five say, all right, sorry, Wake Forests and Iowa States and Oregon States of the world, you're just not good enough. We're all going to go, you know, these top 30 teams, top 40 teams are going to go start making our own 10-team conferences. That's the only way I see anybody out of the American Athletic getting a shot in one of those opportunities, because just how much bigger can these conferences get? Are we going to go to four 16 team leagues? That's the only way, is something drastic happening like that, because how many seats do a lot of people think there are at the table? You see that among fan bases at the Sun Belt and Conference USA level. They're all striving to get into the American Athletic. Well, the American Athletic's not going to expand because they're not making anywhere near the kind of money that the Power Fives are.
Yeah. Let's give an example. Lafayette, Louisiana, your conference brethren, I believe, Ooh La La. Are they Conference USA or Sun Belt?
No, Louisiana's in the Sun Belt.
All right. But they have some hardcore fans down there in the Lafayette, Louisiana area. However, most of those fans will put on purple and gold and go to an LSU game just as quickly as they'll go to their own University of Louisiana game. So that's the bad part, you know, when it comes to a program like that. So we're going to talk midseason football with our buddy J.C. Sherbert of thebigspur.com here in the next segment. But Diesel, some other awards that we're going to give out after talking with J.C. includes our Heisman Trophy winner, our Coach of the Year winner. We can do Offensive and Defensive Players of the Year, and our upset of the year as well. Bunch of different options when it comes to that so far. So those will be our other midseason awards. And then at 6:20, we'll talk a little bit about the Swamp Rabbits, because we want you to help us make history on Friday night with the biggest opening crowd ever in an ECHL game. The Swamp Rabbits will be hosting the Toledo Walleye. And, again, you know, go big or go home. So let's set a record on Friday night. There are literally seats out there for $5. And you know what? It's a lot of fun. It's very fast. The concession prices are very fair. So it's a fun Friday night here in the upstate of South Carolina. So we'll talk with Jordan Coons as he gets ready. He's done some exhibition games, and we'll get the regular season kicked off, if you will, on Friday night. And, of course, you can hear that game right here on ESPN Upstate. But when we come back, our buddy J.C. Sherbert, you can give him a follow by his name on Twitter as well as the Big Spur. All right, welcome back in. As we go back to the guest line for the second time today, it's our buddy J.C. Sherbert. He is the with thebigspur.com, of course, college football recruiting. Just dropped a podcast earlier this afternoon, the Locked on the Gamecocks podcast that he does with Keith Alsup. And, J.C., I hope you're doing well, bud.
Yeah, doing good. Good to be with you guys today.
All right, so, you know, we're kind of having a hump day edition for college football, you know, at the midway point. Now, South Carolina only played 5 games, and we don't know what they're going to do. Have you heard any type of rumor or anything else? Will they try to get a 12th game in this year, J.C.? It's become really quiet on that front.
Well, you know, South Carolina isn't mathematically eliminated from the division, and I think if you go and schedule a game on December 1st, that sends a bad message to your team and to your program. You just don't do that. I mean, no matter what the reality is of the situation in terms of the chances, I mean, until you're mathematically eliminated, you're not gonna schedule that game. What I've heard is, if Marshall doesn't make it to their championship game, which you know, they got whipped up pretty good the other night by Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That's the likely opponent for that first weekend in December. You know, probably I'd guess it'd be a noon kickoff to get it in before the SEC championship and ACC championships and all that. So I think that's probably what's going to happen with that game. And I do think Carolina will get in 12, you know, as long as it makes sense to do it. And I think it actually does, because when you're building, you need to, you know, play as many games as possible.
So, JC, you know, let's consider this the midway point, if you will. And what do you think defined the first half of the season for South Carolina at 3-2? Because I think it can come down to just simply not making the simple plays.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of that this year. And then that's been something that the first two Muschamp teams, what they lacked in talent, you know, they sort of were able to hang in there a lot of times just because they didn't make a whole lot of mistakes. You know, I think everybody knows there was a bad offensive plan with Kurt Roper, very predictable offense. And I think Jake Bentley had some accuracy issues last year that plagued him on plays where, you know, had he been more accurate, they could have hit him and all that. You know, this year's been different because the concern, I think, with Bentley at quarterback, he's been more accurate except for the Kentucky game. It's been the interceptions. South Carolina at the very least has always protected the last 2 years has protected the ball and forced a lot of turnovers. That just hasn't been happening. The defense, you know, heading into the Missouri game, it had really, you know, three bad to iffy quarters all year, second against Vanderbilt, the third quarter against Georgia, and the second quarter against Kentucky. But other than that, it played solid football. And then it just wasn't meant to be on Saturday as far as stopping the Missouri ground attack. And so I think inconsistency on defense and the mistakes on the offensive side of the ball, and I include drops in that because, you know, Jake Bentley had 12 combined drop passes against Georgia and Kentucky, the games they lost, it sort of plagued them. And it's been surprising, but the good news, I think, for the offense is that those things are correctable. I think we all know these guys can catch the ball. It's kind of like free throw shooting or putting. I think sometimes you go through a bad streak. The bigger concern for me, looking at it, is South Carolina's defense and their consistency. I think that there are times when their defensive line sort of gets overwhelmed. They have trouble stopping the run. The linebackers aren't having a good year to date in their run fits. And I think that's something they have to fix. They have good coaches on that side of the ball, so we'll see what they come up with.
So what do you do? I mean, again, you're headed into the sixth game of the year, and I'm with you. You know, none of us knew how big of a loss DJ Wonnum was going to be. But is there any way at this point of the 2018 season, JC, to develop some more depth on that side of the ball? Because you have to have attention to detail. That November road schedule is brutal.
I mean, yeah, you look at it, and Serge, I think, you know, with regards to November, you know, some of the younger guys are going to be able to play more snaps at that point, you know, and I think some of these younger guys are really good players. They just have to develop and get there. And you know what, they may not be that good this year, but they can give you 10 or 15 plays and let Kinlaw and those guys rest. I think the bigger concern is probably at linebacker. And what's happened with DJ Wonnum being out is it's forced Bryson Allen Williams to play more of the buck defensive end position. So you can't, you know, they don't put him over at linebacker. He's a fifth year senior and certainly knows what to do. Sherrod Green sort of learning on the fly. They don't have very much depth behind those guys. And so, you know, inexperienced thin defensive line meets inexperienced thin linebacking core. That makes you susceptible to the run. And then the Carolina DBs, you know, I don't think they've ever been known as great tacklers. And so there's problems when they get to the second level. But it's not been all the time. I mean, there's been times when they've bowed up and played good defense. I think the key, though, is getting through this weekend, trying to find a way to get the Texas A&M offense off the field And then when Wonnum comes back for the Tennessee game, you know, get Bryson Allen Williams standing up a little more. Then you got a nice three-man rotation, and you solidify that spot with a guy that's played a ton of football that won't be making as many false steps and mistakes. Thus, they'll be better suited to stop the run.
As we begin finishing up with our buddy J.C. Sherbert, follow him at his name, at J.C. Sherbert on Twitter. That's S-H-U-R-B-U-R-T-T, of course, at the Big Spur. And you can download he and Mike Morgan's podcast, J.C. and Morgan, as well. But, J.C., what about quarterback? You know, Muschamp said yesterday that if he could go, Bentley will be your starter based on experience. But you were talking about decision-making earlier. That's the one thing I liked what Michael Scarnecchia did on Saturday. Three touchdowns, no interceptions, but no announcement yet. You got a feeling which way this will go this weekend against Texas A&M.
Yeah, I think if Jake Bentley's healthy, he's going to start. And I think, quite frankly, he deserves to start. And that's not to take anything away from Michael Scarnecchia. And the performance that he had against Missouri, which was outstanding. I mean, I don't think anybody expected, you know, that type of poise, especially driving them down the field to win the game. I mean, that's a sign of a very good quarterback. Give me the guy that, you know, no matter what's happened in the game, and a lot happened in that game against Missouri, they're going to get you in position to win when the opportunity's there. I will caution people, and I will say that Missouri sold out to stop the run in that game, and they've been giving up oodles of passing yards this year, and it was no different against the Gamecocks. But that's not to say that, you know, Jake Bentley would have gone out and had a flawless performance against the Tigers. You know, I think that there's a chance he would have done really, really well, just like Scarnecchia. But, you know, hats off to Scarnecchia. I think when you look at Jake Bentley, there's a lot of things that have happened during his career that get overblown when people talk about him. And I think a lot of it has to do with his play against Clemson. And then his play in the Kentucky game the other night, it was probably the worst game of his career. But nobody wants to talk about that because they're already mad at him for losing to Clemson. And even though he's had two pretty solid games against Georgia, they're mad at him for that too. And so no matter what else he's done, you know, it's not good enough for the fan base. And so you hear a lot of, I think, absurd chatter from people about this. And look, I'll be the first to say, if Jake Bentley goes out there Saturday and struggles against A&M and Scarnecchia comes in and relieves him and leads the team down the field and things are smoother, I say, you know, go with Scarnecchia, definitely. But at this point, you know, after one game, you know, compared to a guy that has 20, it'll be starting his 25th game Saturday, that's led you to a lot of wins and probably a lot of wins you wouldn't have had otherwise. You know, I think he deserves a chance to go out there and try to get it done.
All right, next time you come home to the upstate here, are you going to get upset with your dad for not pimping you out as a college basketball prospect? Because I think I'm stopping on the way home right now and punch my dad going, man, you couldn't have found something out there for me back in the day? Because, you know, I think college basketball – really took a deep breath earlier today with this latest guy on the stand admitting who all he paid money out to and why.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of bad. It's not surprising. And, you know, some of the folks that are out there that have this view that all of college athletics is dirty, you know, they're right to a certain extent. And, you know, you see things in football too. But the stakes are so much higher in basketball, Sturge, because – you know, we got the top 50 high school football players in the country. Well, of those 50, 10 of them are going to be first-round draft picks. 10 of them are going to completely bust out. You got another, and they're all 4 or 5 years away from being drafted. In basketball, they're 18 months most of the time right away from cashing huge paychecks. And the money in basketball is guaranteed. I mean, you know, Meta World Peace made $13 million as the 12th man for the Lakers 1 year. You know, yep, that money is nothing to sneeze at. So I think the stakes are higher in basketball because of how much closer the players are to the pros and the lesser number of players and the fact that you know in advance before they even get to college who you can cash in on. So I think they got to try to clean it up somehow. I don't have the answers, but it is eye-opening.
All right, in honor of Jim Cantore, if you were down there at Panama City Beach earlier today, you wearing a football helmet or a baseball helmet? Because I'm going with like a 7-bar face mask of a football helmet with some of that stuff I saw flying around.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the football helmet because in the words of the immortal Ron White, it's not that the wind is blowing, it's what the wind is blowing.
Right.
So yeah. I'm going to make sure nothing hits my face.
I had the right to remain silent. Unfortunately, I did not have the ability. So, all right, JC, tell us what's going on at the Big Spur this weekend because South Carolina, Texas A&M, it's the biggest game in the state, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a huge ball game, and, you know, we'll have complete coverage of that and all the pre- and post-game. A lot of good recruits are coming into campus at Carolina this weekend, and we'll have complete coverage of that as well. Only costs 27 cents a day. So for the price that you used to go get the Greenville News at the stand, you can get all your information on your Gamecocks with a VIP membership at thebigspur.com.
Absolutely, and go check out the podcast as well. Thank you, JC. Look forward to catching up with you here soon, my friend. When you back up here, hit me up. Let's grab a beverage.
Definitely will, Sturge. Always a pleasure.
All right, thank you very much. There's JC Sherbert, The Big Spur, TheBigSpur.com. Follow them on Twitter, at The Big Spur. And, of course, follow him at his name, at JC Sherbert. That's S-H-U-R-B-U-R-T-T. And always appreciate him. So, real quickly, before we go off the break, your 5 p.m. keyword, it is office. You can text that into 72881. Somebody's going to win $1,000 free and clear on Intercom Greenville, and ESPN Upstate by simply texting the word office to 72881 in our WeFixMoney.com free cash dash contest. 12 times a day, we give you a chance to win $300,000 total that we're giving out. And if you're in an emergency, you need some cash, check out WeFixMoney.com. Open phones when we come back with some more of our midseason awards. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Always enjoy catching up with J.C. Sherbert of the Big Spur. The one thing we probably didn't get into for whatever reason, Gamecock defense needs to concentrate on playing football and not talking right now either. That's been a little bit different than what we've seen in 2 years of Will Muschamp. But we are kind of celebrating or actually, we wouldn't call it celebrating, Diesel. We would call it we're actually being a little depressed with the realization.
Mourning
that we are halfway through the college football season as of right now. So we've been going through some midseason awards, some of them that we've given out. Surprise team, I had Kentucky. You had UCF. Disappointing team, I had Michigan State. You had Tennessee. Well, you know, one of the things that we think back, we look at over and over again, or what were the best upsets? What was that shocking moment? Anything particular come to mind with you? Because, quite frankly, Diesel, there's a couple that stick out, but for 6 weeks of the college football season, we've already seen some pretty big upsets go down.
Yeah, shout out to the Monarchs of Old Dominion, you know. I have said it multiple times on the show. I didn't think Virginia Tech deserved to be ranked, especially after losing to a team like Old Dominion. You know, they just didn't show up at all. And that's the only thing you can call it, because Old Dominion had a pretty rough season before that game. So it's not exactly like Old Dominion were world beaters and they just outplayed Virginia Tech. They were having a rough season before that.
Yeah, they had lost to Liberty, FIU, Charlotte. And then haven't won a game since that upset. So very ironic and kind of hard to describe that one. Now, I've got two. Number 1A and number 1B. Number 1A is, how about Brigham Young heading into Wisconsin in week number 3 as a 23.5-point underdog and knocking off Bucky the Badger? Because, you know, we had talked all about Alex Hornibrook being back at quarterback. All their starting offensive linemen back. would probably put Jonathan Taylor in the mix for being a Heisman Trophy candidate. BYU, it's not the same program that we remember under Lavelle Edwards back in the day, you know, when they were good year in, year out. To me, that was one of the bigger upsets of the college football season so far. Right behind it, and by the way, I agree with you, Old Dominion was a, what, four touchdown underdog when it came to Virginia Tech. But how about week number two, when East Carolina is a 17-point dog, just absolutely hammered Larry Fedora in the Tar Heels? I mean, what, they were coming off a loss to, correct me if I'm wrong, North Carolina Central, who, by the way, is a top five FCS football team this year.
I think it was A&T, but, North Carolina A&T.
Or, yeah, North Carolina A&T, right. You are 100% correct. They're a top five FCS team, but they had already gone to Greenville and knocked off East Carolina. All North Carolina does is come in the next week and get their doors blown off as a 17-point favorite. So those are two of my biggest upsets of the year right there. A couple other. Now, do you remember Colorado State back in week number two or three? Arkansas goes out there. Colorado State was a two-touchdown underdog and were 0-2, and they knocked off the SEC team. And then also, the team we mentioned about the most surprising team, Kentucky, they go to Florida in week number two as a 14-point underdog and end that 31-game losing streak to the Florida Gators. So, you know, if that's some of the upsets that we've already had through the first half of the season for 2018, Diesel, I think it bodes well for us as we come down the stretch, even though we're in mourning.
All right, I love the upset, Sturge.
Absolutely. When we come back, let's give our Coach of the Year and let's give our Heisman Trophy winners for the halfway point. And, of course, we'll take your thoughts at 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget, we gave you the key word for 5 p.m. It's office. You can text that to 72881 in the WeFixMoney.com free cash dash contest. 12 times a day, we give you a key word, 300,000 total. Intercom giving away. Again, your 5 p.m. key word is office. We'll give you a 6 p.m. keyword as well. Welcome back into Smoke on the Water. Diesel and I mourning the midway point of the college football season. It's gone by way so quickly, and it's just going to continue to pick up steam here as we head into the back part of October. But Diesel, a couple of more midseason awards I want to give out before the top of the hour, and then we'll switch gears because, of course, we'll talk with Jordan Coons of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits at 6:20. But let's go with Coach of the Year because, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's amazing how things can change so quickly in one game. I think all of us at the end of September, a lot of us would have had Ed Orgeron at LSU as our winner. But, of course, they fell flat last week to LSU. I don't like the guy. Not a big fan of the program. And, no, it's not Urban Meyer. But my Coach of the Year at the midway point, it's Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. Number one, the Irish are 6-0. But number two, he made one of those difficult decisions after 3 weeks. They had not scored more than 24 points in any of their first three games. So, of course, Brian Kelly makes the move to Ian Book. The rest is history. The Irish will be favored in every single game they play from moving forward. So when you're undefeated and you're undefeated making a hard quarterback decision, you're my Coach of the Year. Now people say, what's different than right down the road at Clemson? No, there's not, but we didn't expect Notre Dame in that top four as they are right now, top five as they are right now.
Yeah, and Sturge, I got to give a whole lot of credit to Ryan Day filling in for – I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to say filling in for Urban Meyer. You know, that they were put in an extremely difficult situation, and all he did was come out and go 4-0.
Yeah, you know, and everybody like me and other media guys taking the shots at them, and rightfully so. You'll never convince me otherwise. But, you know, that's a great part. Everybody can have their own opinion when it comes to something. But, yeah, you know, he did a great job of navigating those waters, including what that game over there at TCU, or neutral site game at Jerry World against TCU. So, no, I can buy what you're selling there. Yeah, the thing is we go, you talk about an interim head coach. I talk about a Notre Dame head coach, yet we're seeing things done historically in Tuscaloosa, and Nick Saban's name doesn't even come up. I mean, what do you think of Feinbaum's comments earlier today, in which he is now making the claim that Alabama is sucking the air out of college football? It's making it no fun for the casual fan because they
have
a –
What do you want them to do, intentionally lose?
I know.
Everybody else get better.
Yeah. I mean, everybody gets 85 scholarship offers and everything else. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you play 10 on 11. But
the only thing that I could see, Sturge, and this is not going to happen, is a more equal redistribution of wealth.
Either that, but see, I wasn't alive to experience what college basketball went through when UCLA in the 60s won, 10 or 12 national titles. So it hasn't gotten to that point, but we were mentioning Alabama. So Diesel, for the Heisman Trophy, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah, where would Tua Tagovailoa come in the Heisman Trophy ranks? Because the dude's yet to play in a fourth quarter this year. But he's completed 75% of his passes. He's thrown 18 touchdown passes against zero interceptions. He's run for two more. They've only had two quarters on the season in which they haven't scored. So I don't know how you can say that's underrated. Last weekend at Arkansas, 10 of 13, 339 yards, four touchdowns. Should he be penalized for not playing a meaningful snap in the fourth quarter so far? I say no. And until he regresses, I think he's going to stay that way this year. And that's just – I keep coming back to how many times I was ever told by my friends or colleagues, if Alabama ever gets a quarterback, watch out. Well, guess what? They found theirs, and it looks like he may be the favorite for the Heisman Trophy. I'm going to give it to him until somebody presses him, because shouldn't he be given the credit that he's leading these mass blowouts and having to sit out the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I would love to see a Will Grier pick up the Heisman this year. You know, I don't think West Virginia has ever seen a Heisman Trophy winner before, and they're playing in a league where quarterbacks can really pad their stats, and I just looked them up. So far this season, six games in, he's got 1,800 passing yards already. I mean, that is, to me, I'm looking at Dwayne Haskins has 1,900 at Oklahoma.
Ohio State.
He's up there extremely high. Sorry, I was looking at Kyler Murray right below him, so I saw the OU logo. But I think Will Grier is doing some special things up at West Virginia, and I'd love to see him get some more consideration.
Yeah, and you mentioned somebody else I gave a long look at. That's Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback at Ohio State. You mentioned the 1,900 yards passing, but he's completing nearly 72% of his throws, and he's already got 25 touchdown passes on the year. So, again, he's somebody that you could definitely put in the mix when it comes for the Heisman Trophy. So, yeah, we'll take your thoughts when we come back. You were asking about West Virginia, all right? When I was in college, Clemson went down and played West Virginia in the Gator Bowl. Now, West Virginia ended up getting even about 8 years ago. Of course, you remember they put a 70 spot up on Clemson in the Orange Bowl, and that caused Dabo Swinney to fire his defensive coordinator. But Major Harris was the quarterback for the West Virginia Mountaineers when they played in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, and it was one of the better matchups of the bowl season. You know, we had only grown to about 18 bowls at that point, Diesel, and not 40. You know what I mean? So, I remember watching the game. I was somewhere else. I think I was in New Orleans getting ready for Alabama's Sugar Bowl matchup with Miami. But don't hold me to it. But anyway, we're watching Clemson beat the snot out of West Virginia in Major Harris that night. And, of course, this was the day and age where juniors were just starting to think about leaving school a year early and going on to the NFL. You know, it wasn't an automatic thing as it is now. Well, they interview Major Harris's mom on the sideline as he's just getting pummeled, play after play, hit after hit, and said, "What would you do if you were his son?" "I'd go on pro. No reason to be getting hit like that." One of the funniest interviews I've ever heard in a game. I mean, she was ready there in the third quarter to throw every single offensive lineman under the bus, the coaching staff, and everybody else. And I'll never forget that as long as I live, as she was the first to tell her son to take his talents to the next level. The bad part about it is he did not have talents that translated to the next level, and never really had any pro career, did Major Harris. All right, so here's the deal. When we come back, we will we'll give you a little idea. We talked with J.C. Sherbert about where we felt like South Carolina's football season was at the midway point. Well, what about right down the road in Clemson for the sixth time under Dabo Swinney? The Tigers are ranked 6-0, are off to a 6-0 undefeated start. They're ranked number 4 in the country. And guess what? They have an off week before they face the NC State Wolfpack next weekend for homecoming down in Death Valley. So when we come back, we will talk about where Clemson is at the midway point, some things that have caught my attention, and where do they go from here. Is if they get by NC State, watch out. Looks like it may be smooth sailing ahead toward the end of the season. But just as soon as you think about that, that's when things change. But one of the only team in the country are the Tigers that are ranked in the top 10 in offense and as well as the top 10 in defense. So could be another big backside of the college football season for Dabo Swinney's Tigers. We'll talk about it when we come back. 844-GSP-ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.